We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We're doing this right now. Bernstein and McKnight with you until 1 o'clock. Bruce Weber, the Kansas State head coach, is going to join us at 9:40. At 10:40, our guy Geltzy, Brian Geltzeiler of SiriusXM and NBA TV, will give us a little NBA reset. It's kind of been off the radar screen as we've been talking a lot of college buckets.
Yeah, back on last night, though.
Yes, back on last night.
Back on last night.
And a reminder of sort of what basketball's supposed to look like.
Instead of watching the third quarter of the Bulls game, I watched Giannis throw that thing down, I don't know, 50 or 60 times, just over repeat, just over and over again.
Yeah, there was, and LeBron had a historic triple-double. We're going to get to some of the trivia on that a little bit later, but Geltzy will join us at 10:40. We're going to do the midday midway at 11. At 11:40, Father Tom Hurley from Old St. Pat's going to talk to us about some of these outcomes and the divine. So that's, you're going to have to be the point man on that.
Because, yeah, no, I mean, 12 years at Catholic school. My mother's a religion teacher at a Catholic school. I've got plenty of background there. I think I can get you at least a plenary indulgence of some kind. Yeah, I think we're still selling those.
I don't know if I need one, though. If I'm going to hell
anyway. Better have one than not.
Can't hurt.
Could hurt.
Is it like Bitcoin where there could be wild fluctuations in the value of a plenary indulgence?
And you just
want
to hold on to one as long as you can. That way it's there. That way you have it.
Now, that would be blockchain technology if I start up a mining operation with massive computer power in Iceland, taking advantage of the thermal electricity there,
right,
and I mine plenary indulgences via the blockchain.
I got to tell you, nobody else is doing it. There's a market inefficiency there, Dan,
and
you could definitely come away with a few papal blessings.
What's funny is that if I were to like put a startup out there and just mentioned some kind of new cryptocurrency and said it had to do with plenary indulgences, some idiot venture capitalist would probably write me a check for $10 million at this point.
Put VR in the pitch. Yeah. Put any kind of VR or augmented reality in the pitch, and you've got yourself a couple of million.
Father Tom Hurley will join us at 11:40, and we're going to have all kinds of surprises along the way as well. And we've got giveaways. You're going to have two chances at winning $1,000 cash. You have to listen for your keywords to text and win, and that's what will give you that opportunity. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. You can find us also via text. A lot of you choose to do that, and you can text us at 67011. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Our Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK, just those three letters.
Mm-hmm.
It's at Bernstein_MCK for McKnight. And you can reach us via Twitter. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. There is a Facebook opportunity as well. You can get on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Then you're in and you're having a conversation with people. And on Facebook Live and watch 670thescore.com, you can watch our video feed that Brian Gertsch is directing. The producers are Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp. So I had that that evening of reintroducing NBA basketball to myself.
Yes.
It was I enjoyed every bit of it, probably more than I should.
I was watching a little bit of that Bulls game and thinking, boy, that's, I think I tweeted this too. There, it reminds me, there are shades of the tournament here, just none of them quite the good shades. None of them the things you wanted to see out of that tournament, you know, kind of the running up and down, back and forth, and empty possessions in transition. But yeah, that Cavaliers-Bucks thing was much, much more fun.
Yeah, because there's talent and everybody's really good, and you know that that's their job. They play basketball for their
job.
It's what they do.
I get. Yeah. You know, we were talking in transition with Molly and Hanley some about the Tyronn Lue thing, and I know we want to get to your column on an NFL rules change that may be coming up here
a
in a few weeks. And we've got plenty of Bruce Weber and basketball talk at 9:40. But with Tyronn Lue, you mentioned that there's not the pressure to win a championship
I don't know.
With the Cleveland Cavaliers just, that there has been before.
Because of they've been so blown up.
They have been. And
it's probably going to rekindle. But
you get Kevin Love back. You've got 12 games left. There's chances to figure things out. I would just contend that there's never a decrease in pressure when you have LeBron
you're
James
right.
heading into the playoffs.
I'm
and
sure you're right.
Given the fact that Toronto Raptors are ready to explode and disintegrate into a pile of, what did you call them, expectations not met or just crushing disappointment, I can't get myself to a place where I go, well, this is less of a decision by Tyronn Lue. Because they're not there okay. in the East. They are there. They will always be there until LeBron James' leg falls off. I'm just not ready to see it that way. I'm willing to listen, but I just can't see it any other way.
It seems like we have a new rule that's coming to the NFL, and I think it's all good. This is the competition committee has agreed on this. It's going to be voted on by owners next week. And maybe there's something I'm missing, but I tried to put together a counter argument to it, and I'm not sure I can find it. Maybe you can. We're going to talk about that next on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This segment's brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes. Get used to it. Set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates and an online dashboard. Get started at indeed.com/hire. There are some things I cannot let go. I'm going to yar every nuts. I'm going to do and members of. And the question, are you hiring, can only be asked by the great Cornholio.
I really like here on a day where you can get out the vote. Go vote, go vote, go vote, go vote.
Yes, I retweeted you.
You've got your stump speech ready to go. Your three things, your soapbox positions of one Dan Bernstein.
Hey, it's not hard.
Are you hiring? Will always be voiced by Cornholio.
Are you hiring?
I'm here to yar every nuts.
Yes.
What was the third one?
It's sort of the equivalent of a chicken in every pot. There will no Beautiful. Nuts will go unyarred.
I'll never let it be said you didn't know what Dan yeah. stood for.
Well, he lived by a code. It was a stupid code, but it was a code. The new NFL rule of which I speak is as follows. The league's competition committee will propose a rule that would permit the officiating department monitoring games from New York to eject players from games for what are described as egregious non-football acts. That is according to NFL Executive VP Troy Vincent. This is a story in USA Today Sports.
Yeah, so I read what you'd put out on that, and I read the story in USA Today Sports, and I want to thank you because for the second time in our 2 weeks together, you've sent me to Reddit to find out a couple answers to questions.
I didn't send you there.
Yes,
you took yourself
yes,
to Reddit.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
You sent me to NFL Reddit, so after reading through some of the horrible things.
Does Godwin's Law apply every time you go to Reddit?
No, I don't think they can spell Hitler. So you go through some of these questions, and I have a couple of questions, right? So the idea is that you can, from the eye in the sky, eject players for, what was it, egregious behavior?
Egregious non-football acts.
Okay, and I think that's honestly, as goofy as that phrase is, I think that's actually a pretty important phrase.
I assume it's perpetrated upon another player, whether just like, you know, waving your willy around. I don't know if that
couldn't get back to the locker room in time to take a, you know, because these guys are loaded up with God knows what, and that sometimes affects the digestive process.
They brought up Rob Gronkowski diving on the ground to spear Tre'Davious White. And I had the other one I wanted to watch again because that was fresh in my mind. But the Mike Evans, when he comes all the way across the field to deliver a blindside hit to the Saints' Marshon Lattimore. I went back and I watched that. And that's the kind of thing where the referees may not have seen it in real time and don't know what to do, where somebody on a screen can say, get his ass out of the game.
Here's what I need if these rules are going to be applied. I'm fine with it. What I don't want are more lengthy reviews during an NFL game. I am already upset by the length of reviews as is. I like reviews. I want to get the call right. I want them in every instance they can be applied. I just don't want to sit there and wait for something that is so completely obvious in two angles on a broadcast network. I don't want to wait that long.
Okay.
Here's what else I need. I want these ejections then to come from a completely separate referee crew. I want it told to the head referee, to the linesman. I want it told to whomever is officiating the game that 33 is out for the rest of the game. I don't want to have that crew go back and re-legislate and re-judicate. I think that's important for two different reasons. One, because if they don't catch it for the first couple of plays, if they miss it and go back over a timeout or something, someone has to go up to Rob Gronkowski and say, sir, excuse me, sir, you need to leave. And then you have to deal with Rob Gronkowski losing his mind.
Well, you also could, and I think Rick Camp brought this up when we were discussing it before off the air, is if there's any lag whatsoever, it would have to be in that moment. Because if you had a crew in New York say, you know, we kind of watched that again and we saw something, and even though Rob Gronkowski just caught a touchdown pass that will ultimately end up deciding the game, now he's ejected. So then the opponent might say, well, whoa, why wasn't he ejected immediately? Why was he allowed to stay in the game and catch the touchdown pass that might have decided the game and caused us to lose? So there's potential timing issues. If what's you, I think your point is well taken in that it shouldn't be a suggestion from the eye in the sky to say, by the way,
take a look at this, see what you think.
Right. It should be. This call has been made. 84 is out.
Because players are going to hate this. Players are going to hate this with the fire of a thousand suns. They don't need anybody else telling them how they can or cannot play the game. You're going to get into discussions of whether you can police the game yourselves, all that kind of old school stuff, which I'm not saying is necessarily out of place. I'm just saying they're going to hate it because of that. And you can't have a crew that has already been working the game and they're in the flow, and maybe, you know, Gronkowski had said a couple of things to Gene Steratore that weren't necessarily kind, and now Rob thinks he's out because Gene's got thin skin or whatever. It needs to be this secondary, out-of-place kind of decision from on high. Thing is, people hate that in general. We're getting more and more Big Brother as it is.
You know what? Don't run over and spear somebody. Say where this, it's not like they're doing this with a holding call. These are all things that we know when we see, and I don't think we're getting into a slippery slope here where college targeting sucks.
Awful. It's horrendous.
No one knows what it is. Mm-mm. No one knows when it is.
No coaches can explain to their players when it's going to happen or how not to happen.
And this isn't the catch rule. This is something where in these two cases that they cite, in the Gronkowski case and in the Mike Evans case, you know that there's no question. Nobody's saying that Rob Gronkowski should not have been ejected. Nobody's saying that Evans should not have been ejected, right?
Right. No one.
Right. So it's I don't really see. What am I missing as far as is there a downside risk here that I'm not seeing?
So here's the reason you sent me to Reddit is because my initial question on whether you get ejected from a game, then stop sending me links, that was, do you lose a game check if you're ejected from a game?
Why does that matter?
I'm just wondering, because the pushback on this may be, I might be blowing that out of proportion. I might be putting myself into the player's mindset a little heavier than, I mean, they've rolled over on every other CBA negotiation, so why wouldn't they roll over on a rule change here? I just wonder if that's, I mean, because they played the game. They were in a game at some point. All you've got to do is suit up. You get yourself a game check. And best I can tell, And if I've got this wrong, go ahead and text in or call in and let me know. The best I can tell in just reading it here over the break is that if you're ejected, it looks like you can appeal to get that game check, but you may lose it. It seems like you lose that game check.
The 708 says, F off, McKnight. Reddit's awesome. What are you, 60? Yeah, Reddit.
No, I'm not 60. I'm just saying that Reddit can get into a really gross area real fast, especially NFL Reddit, apparently.
What do you mean, especially? Because there's subreddits for every perversion.
Subreddits have subreddits.
You can't generalize like that. There are many different paths and roads to meander down.
And all of them lead to terrible, terrible places.
Yeah, most of them.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Shane likes bread.
Oh, why not? You got to.
Yeah, it's the perfect man to read a bread ad. Who was it? Wasn't it the old Loyola broadcaster that would talk about Ganella bread? Do I have that correct?
Sounds right. See ads for Ganella all over the Red Line. I'm taking the Red Line now these days, coming into the show. Ads all over the place.
The Ganella war, the bread wars in Chicago, the bread trucks.
The important thing, too, about your bread here, make sure you've got your toaster set to the right level for your toast. That's a very key part of, not a lot of people think about that as much as I've clearly thought about that. I use Reddit to find out exactly where to measure.
Don't get me started on Toast Reddit.
Oh, God, it's deep.
Toast
it gets
Reddit.
Real deep.
Yeah, ugly. And actually, you know the Jim Nance story, right?
About Toast?
Yes. Famously, Jim Nance carries a card in his wallet. True story. Jim Nance carries a card in his wallet.
Made of toast.
With no.
He's got a toast card.
No.
The toast symbolizes a lot to him.
If you find this card, please make me toast.
No. He orders his toast burned. And he said most restaurants refuse to burn it sufficiently. He wants black toast.
That's disgusting.
Look. Whatever you think of it, he cares.
No, that is what I think of it. It's disgusting.
He cares enough about the burned level of his toast to actually have a picture. It's like a medic alert bracelet to show a server or perhaps
how dark he wants the toast.
When I say burned, I mean burned.
It's like paint swatches.
Yes.
Let's match the toast to the shade here on Nance's card.
I'm not exaggerating, not making this up.
I wish that you were. It's horrifying. By the way, a correction. I have gone back to Reddit. I've gone back through NFL Reddit per our texter's suggestion that I F off and also read Reddit. Per Article 42 of the CBA, the max fine for ejection is about $35,000.
630 says, what I do like about this rule, if properly enforced.
Love this.
It could hopefully get players to start trying to not retaliate, knowing the eye in the sky should catch the original cheap shot, and more importantly, will catch the retaliatory cheap shot.
Best argument I've heard for the rule yet. That's fantastic. I really like how that's been applied. Or how that could be applied.
They always say, you know, it's the second guy who gets seen.
Guy in the hockey fight.
If everything can't, well, then you're back to the Holy Spirit again. Right. And there's a thought here saying regarding the timing from the 708. It says, have the offsite referee crew call down to the game crew and say, we're reviewing a play. It may result in a player ejection. That player must sit out, and as the decision is being made.
Yeah, but then we're still in the same situation of Gronk catching a touchdown and then being ejected later.
It's the opposite. If you could say maybe they say he's not ejected, and they're like, well, why couldn't I use him
exactly
on a play that could have decided
to use the
game?
Guy. It's we're in the same area of coaches now not being able to use their weapons or being penalized for using them when they shouldn't have.
It has to be immediate.
Yeah. With replay as is, you and I, we sit there on the couch with whether it's Red Zone or the broadcast or what, two replays, and we know whether it's a catch, whether it's a touchdown, whether it's – we know.
Well, catch we don't because of how they explain it.
Catch no one knows. Catch one knows what the hell it is. But with everything else, you know what that ruling is going to be, with very few exceptions, that fumbling out of the back of the end zone, maybe losing control as you're going to a pylon, stuff like that. I've never quite understood whether it's this or whether it's baseball, how somebody in New York doesn't see it as fast as I can see it on my couch watching with a couple of tall ones. I just don't understand it.
Kansas State head basketball coach Bruce Weber joins us next on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You know, leave it to UMBC to somehow take a victory by Kansas State and make it about something else. Make it like, well, yeah, Kansas State might have won, but really that's not the story.
Look at those plucky retrievers.
Exactly. Bruce Weber, the head coach of Kansas State, joins us now on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score. Good to talk to you again, Bruce. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a whirlwind that, you know, we flew back yesterday. You're basically up all night on Sunday night after the game. You don't get back to the hotel till 1, and you got to eat. And a lot of fans and family, and get up early yesterday, fly back. You had enough time to do laundry and have a team meeting, and then you got to get back. We're going to go to practice here in a little bit and get back on the plane and go to Atlanta.
Bruce, what's the conversation with your team like going into a game against the only 16 that has ever beaten a 1?
Well, we just wanted to emphasize to them that how good they were. I mean, they just didn't beat Virginia. They just totally disrupted them and controlled most of the game. You know, you thought at halftime, well, Virginia's going to turn it on. It's 21 up. But second half, I mean, they beat the top-seeded team by 20 points, a team that dominated the ACC, won by 4 games, a league that had the most teams in the NCAA tournament. So this – this is no fluke. They were good. They're Fred. They're, you know, they could score. They made the three ball, but their defensive pressure and quickness, you know, really disrupted. It disrupted them. That disrupted us. And it reminded me a lot of our SIU teams where we just had a bunch of tough, quick kids that put a lot of pressure on, and some of the bigger BCS teams had trouble with that.
Your team is this year also is tough defensively and gets a lot of deflections and is disruptive. Is that when you go into a game against Kentucky and you start talking to these kids, is that enough to enough of an identity for them to give them a base from which to build out, or to say, if you just keep doing that, you're going to be in games even against a team this talented?
Well, we think it's important. There's no doubt. We have Dean Wade, our best player, first team all conference, one of the best power forwards in the country, in our leading scorer and leading rebounder, and one of our top assist guys go down. So I just kind of challenge our guys. If you want to stay in this tournament, you're going to have to be the best defensive team in the tournament. And right now we held Creighton, one of the top teams, had the Big East Player of the Year, Marcus Foster, to 59 points. Then we held a team that also had the American East Player of the Year and one of the top scoring teams in the country to 43 points. So they've stepped up and really, you know, took heart to the challenge. But against Kentucky, it's probably going to take a little more. We're going to have to make some shots. We just did not play very well on offense. It was the first game. We didn't have Dean Wade against Kansas in the Big 12 tournament. And then the last two games, and it kind of caught up with us because we ran a lot of offense through them. So the next couple days here, we got to figure out something, how to score, and hope some guys can jump up and make some shots.
Is Wade going to play?
I think he'll play a little bit. You haven't played basketball for 2 weeks, so, you know, but if we could get, 10, 12, 14 minutes out of him, it definitely would help us because he is a really good player. I don't think people nationwide realize how good he is. He was going to look, you know, I know there's some talk coming out this year, but, you know, I think if with the injury now, we'll see what happens. But a year from now, he's got a chance to be a lottery pick.
Bruce, the tournament always brings around coaches ready to make that next step. We've seen a couple, there's some reports out that Dan Hurley might be moving from Rhode Island to a couple of big teams, and Porter Mosier here locally at Loyola might be getting a few phone calls as well. What do you remember most from your transition time going from SIU to Illinois? What do you remember thinking at the time about the program you'd built and continuing that versus the opportunity in front of you to go big?
Well, I always told, you know, I went to SIU and it hit, you know, Coach Heron had done an unbelievable job, and Rich Heron had done an unbelievable job, and you know, it kind of slipped a little bit, and then you took it over, and when I got there, every year I could have left, but I told the people I want to leave it better than it was, and if the opportunity comes up, you should be happy because we got the program to that point. And then Matt Painter was able to take it over. Chris Lowry's going to take it over. So, you know, I really love SIU. I love my time there. It's some of the greatest memories for my family to take that team, you know, and get them to the Sweet 16 and then next year in the tournament and have a tough loss to Missouri. You're proud of that. But, you know, in this coaching profession, I'm not sure you can stay very long at a place anymore because the social media is going to get to you. The faceless opinions are going to get to you. And, you know, I think it's almost a good thing. Lon Kruger figured it out a long time ago, 5-and-go. And, you know, this is the longest he's ever stayed at a place. And, you know, it's a tough thing. And the part I got into coaching, I wanted to stay at a place and I love the relationships. And, you know, I still have relationships with our guys from 30, 38, 39 years ago at Purdue. And, you know, I know their kids, their grandkids now. And you know, that's what I got into it. But when you keep changing programs, it's hard to keep up with everybody. We had Roland Roberts and Tyrese Bowie at our game the other day, two of the good players from, from our SIU days and our Sweet 16 team. And, you know, when you keep moving, it's tough to keep those relationships. And I wish I could even do a better job with that.
Are you happy where you are right now? Are you comfortable? Is this a good fit?
Yeah, K-State's a great place. I'm very, very fortunate. It's got great people. It's not an easy job, you know, recruiting-wise. Our population you have more people, it's probably double the people in Chicago than we have in our whole state of Kansas. But, you know, we got one good player out of Kansas. Dean Wade is really good. You've got to travel all over the place. Last year I did 142 flights on American Airlines. So, you know, you're going to Florida, you're going to South Carolina, New York, Baltimore. We've been fortunate. St. Louis has given us a couple kids and that are pretty good players. And, you know, but it's you got great people. It's a great family atmosphere. And what Bill Snyder's done here is just it's amazing. It's probably one of the greatest stories in college athletics.
We were talking a lot yesterday about Dan D'Antoni and his very simple and understandable commentary about expected points per shot attempt from where you are on the floor and saying, look, he said the corner three is the best shot. He said any other three is the next best shot. And then he mentioned it was an uncontested layup or free throws. And he said, stop telling me I got to pound the ball into the post when there's – he said, you know what? The expected points per attempt from a guy in the post with somebody in between him and the basket is 0.78. He said, I coached like a dummy for too many years and now I'm not. How much have you accepted some of these changes based on what some people are looking at as some objective truth about the values of some of these shots?
Yeah, the analytics, I guess, you know, a lot of people have gone to that, and you got it in baseball also. And, you know, I believe in it, but show me a team that wins a national championship doing it. And even we'll see in the NBA if the Rockets can do it, if, you know, it'll be interesting. And you get in that grind of the playoffs, and you know, when teams pick up their defense and they're shooting long threes and they're not making them and the ball's going the other way, you know, it will be interesting to see if they can win it. And that's my thing. I think it's got to be a good mix. I've listened to Popovich talk about it, and he, you know, he really criticized the three ball at start, but then he started using it. But I think the thing he's done and a lot of people have done, you got to get a good mix of it. You got to get some of those easy layups. You got to get to the free throw line. And then if you can get those open threes, they are good shots, and it really changes games.
I know recruiting is a year-round kind of situation for any head basketball coach. You've got the tournament, and I imagine scouting Kentucky right now is top of mind. But I wonder with the FBI investigations that have come out in a lot of reports, whether or not that's changed the conversation just a little bit when you go recruit players for Kansas State, whether the questions maybe that parents are asking have changed in tone or tenor some.
Well, I think I think everyone's in a waiting game right now. You know a little bit, but you don't know everything, and you don't really have facts. So, you know, we have a few facts that came out or supposedly came out in the fall. You know, now some, you know, I guess some rumored or whatever, some things that got released. But I think it will change a lot of it if it all comes out and how much comes out. It's like anything else. If something's bad, it needs to be corrected. And, it's not great for the game. But at the same time, if things are, you know, going the wrong way, I think it needs to be changed. And for the longevity of the game, I think it's a good thing.
Well, here's to you getting by Kentucky so we can set up that Elite Eight matchup with the Loyola Ramblers.
Yes.
Because I'm sure you understand what's going on in Chicago with the unlikely success of Loyola. It's really been fun.
Really happy for Porter and that group. And, you know, again, and the Missouri Valley, Doug Elch is one of the greatest guys in college sports and the commissioner of the Valley, and he's done a great job. But you know, Porter got a chance, and he's got a team. They're tough. They're older. They make shots and plays, and I'm sure he's enjoying the ride. And we'll be looking forward to seeing him in Atlanta today.
Great catching back up with you, Bruce. Congratulations on your success.
Thank you. Bye.
Bruce Weber, the former Illini coach, who is an SIU coach, now the head coach of Kansas State, is going to be facing Kentucky in the Sweet 16.
Kind of interesting if you're filling out your brackets or maybe rejiggering things on the 5-hour energy challenge that Danny Parkins has you on, or maybe just betting everything. It sounds like Dean Wade might get a few minutes for the Kansas State Wildcats. Did you catch coach spin there, or did you catch actual minutes for Dean Wade? Because I kind of caught coach spin.
Well, the coach spin could go two ways.
ready to go.
Yeah, when he
full
says
speed,
yeah, he might play a few minutes. That could mean he's just destroying people right now. Or it could mean he's not playing at all.
It's a stress fracture in the foot. So the condition, he hasn't played in 2 weeks. Conditioning's obviously a thing. But if you're going to make a mess out of this Kentucky situation, you need a 6'10 dude who can stretch floor and can just match up with some of that length that Kentucky has.
It's a whirlwind.
It is a whirlwind.
Was it lottery pick next year?
Yeah. He's pumping his guy.
Wow. That segment brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Firestone Complete Auto Care, keeping cars running newer, longer. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. Now, after the top of the hour, did you hear Jay Billis with McNeil
not.
And Parkins yesterday? He was phenomenal. He's always great.
I'm a big fan.
But he was – what he did was he – he punctured some just false narratives.
Pop safety bubbles left and right.
Left and right. And he took everything that was put out there and said, no, kind of not true. No, kind of not real. No, kind of not true. Just one after the other. In a nice way.
If there's anything I know, it's people love other people going, well, actually.
Actually, you're wrong, well, and here's actually why. And it was in lawyerly fashion, being the lawyer that he is. Jay Billis was able to tell some real college basketball truth. So we're going to bring that back for you from yesterday's McNeil and Parkins show. So keep it here. You have Bernstein and McKnight. By the way, we are your new midday show. We're going to be your friends in the middle of the day right here from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And this is Score Middays with Bernstein and McKnight on WSCR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.